I knew day in and day out I was the best wrestler alive today.
Woo!
I've got the style and profile like never before.
The Ric Flair Show.
Woo! Woo! The World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Woo! The 16-time world champion back behind the mic and telling it like it is.
If you're not carrying the big gold, you're second best no matter what you tell yourself.
And now, Ric Flair and Conrad Thompson.
Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to the Ric Flair Show. And, man, we've got a jam-packed show for you today. Our guest of honor, Jonathan Coachman, the coach from WWE, now with ESPN.
We are honored, and I mean, this is a big deal for any podcast anywhere in the world. We have Jonathan Coachman, who is now an ESPN anchor, and in my estimation, one of the top five. When he has come so far, he started his career in the WWE. He is a son of a Christian family from Kansas. Your dad's a great guy too, by the way, and so knowledgeable, and he's now the ESPN's working along with WWE, so we're fortunate to have him. He wrestled, he announced, we actually wrestled each other in Afghanistan, which was, I thought it was his last match. He probably wishes it was. but anyway, we've been around the world together, had a lot of fun, and to see him live his dream and be so successful at it, I mean, the coach, you've got a brand right now, brother. It's as big as anybody else's out there. Pretty. Maybe well, Linda Cohen's bigger, but it's that good. And is that guy that you work with all the time, is he your permanent co-host?
Yeah, Max Bredos. And it was kind of funny as people forget. First of all, Nate, thank you for the introduction. You and I have been great friends for so long, and I have so much respect for you. But Max Bredos actually spent a year I don't say he worked at WWE. He got checks from WWE because he was under contract for 1 year and he was on TV one time and Vince paid him for an entire 12 months. And so we tease him all the time because I'm with him 5 days a week on SportsCenter and then we have our own radio show. And then we're expanding. We're hopefully going to get another show coming up very soon. But it's been great. And you're one of the biggest sports fans from the wrestling world, everybody knows that, and the love that we have for sports, and to get to see you spend time with the teams and be a motivational speaker, and I don't think wrestling fans understand how much sports means to people like you and me, and yeah. You just said I get to live my dream, and it's been amazing. Almost 9 years already I've been at ESPN, just flying by. And every single day I try to grow the brand, but the reason I do this the way that I do it is because I want to bring my two worlds together that I love so much. And we're starting to do that, with the WWE and the different things that we do together. I've never been happier than I am right now. And professionally is a big, big reason, for that. So it's going really well right now.
Yeah, I actually, the week you left, I had dinner with you. I can't remember where. I guess it was in Stanford, I guess. Remember, yeah. I was in town filming something,
yeah.
And you had just left. What year did you leave?
Well, I left in 2008. And
yeah, right.
It was
right after WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was my last TV. My last TV was in April of 2008. My contract wasn't up until August, and there's so many little stories that I like to tell, Ric, because I guess I'm very protective of Vince. I'm very protective of the WWE brand, and I always like people to know the positives of not only my time there, but the things that they do. And one of the positive things that he did for me was it was not a secret that I had an opportunity with ESPN. And I went up for the interview in April, and you know, and that's kind of when social media started, and so people knew that I was on campus, and there was rumors out there that I was hopefully going to go there. So they called me in, and they asked me straight up. And that's another thing I love about Vince and Kevin Dunn and everybody. They act like grown men, and when you got something to talk about, you call, you come in, and you talk about it. And they looked me straight in the eye, and they said, "Are you going to go to ESPN, or are you going to stay here?" And I already been there for 10 years. And I said, I've got to take this opportunity. If I don't, I'll probably never get it again. And they said, and I have two children, and my daughter was due in 2 months. She was born June of 2008. And they said, we know your first child is being born. Why don't we take you off TV right now? They're trying to find a spot for Mick Foley. And they put him on commentary. And they said, if we need you, we'll call you. And if not, then this will be it. But you'll always be a part of the family. And I'll never forget that conversation. Because then in July, they did call me. And I was like, wow, you know, they what do they need me for? They said, we need to come to the TV studio. And so I went down. I thought I was going to do some voiceover work. And I walk in, and I see this big tent in the parking lot. And it was a surprise going away party for me.
Wow.
And it was one of the coolest things that they'd ever done. And I remember Vince came, and he looked at me, and he said, you'll always be a part of this. And I've always remembered that. And that's why what we're doing right now is so special, because professionally, it just doesn't happen very often that you get a relationship that I have, not just with Vince and everybody, but with people like you, where you become more than just friends, you become family, because you're together all over the world for so long and so many years. And that's very special to me.
Yeah, well, it's a great story. I know you've told me before. And, you know, I think that I feel in my heart anyway, that he always is supportive of something that he thinks is an opportunity that's going to make you better. I mean, they probably offered you twice the money after having Foley on TV for a week, but should you stay? Just kidding. Just kidding. Anyway, but anyway, they think you're doing something, and they've given you or enhanced that opportunity or that ability to have that opportunity. I think they endorse it all the time. It's great. I mean, and look where we are now, and all these years later, and he's not easy to get along with sometimes. He's working right alongside with you guys, and it's good for both. It really gives us a lot of credibility.
There's no question. It's funny because when we went to WrestleMania this year, and I worked so hard behind the scenes to make this happen, and damn near got fired a couple of times, I think, for pushing so hard, because I believe it's the right thing to do. Fans across the world they like a lot of different things, and it's not up to us to dictate, Rick, what they like and to tell them what they should like. And I tell my bosses at ESPN all the time, you may not like sports entertainment, but there are millions of people that do, and if we ignore them, and we don't invite them into the ESPN world, then we're losing out on a lot of business, a lot of eyeballs, a lot of fans. And I was at WrestleMania this year, and Vince pulled me aside when we were backstage, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, this is, if not the most important relationship, it's one of the two or three most important relationships that the WWE has ever had. To your point, because of the credibility factor – and getting the WWE and getting these real life people to the living rooms of people that may not watch them and say, you know what, I like that person. And I want to watch that person become whoever they are on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. And also, I have a dream, Rick, that someday at the same time, I can be a part of Monday Night Raw on a full-time basis and also be a sports center anchor or host my own show, which I believe is going to happen one day at ESPN, and do it at the same time. And I think it'll be such an incredible moment to have the two things right in lockstep. And we're getting closer and closer, which is just one of the coolest things for me. And also, I get to see you guys every now and then. And when I left, you know how it is. When you leave a company – in pro wrestling, sports entertainment, you hardly ever get to see those guys again because they're still out there going up and down the road, and you're not.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so
I know.
I've loved that part of it.
Yeah, well, I can see you and Molly together on the show all day long.
Yeah, the chicken you'd be calling me every day asking to be on it.
Texting you. I we'll get rid of Max Kellerman and put you right there with Stephen A. That would be a hot ticket, man. God, he's incredible. Well, he's incredible. I love listening to him. He goes on these tirades, man.
That's what we're trying to get. In full disclosure, we're trying to get a debate show that also has segments on it, because we believe, or I believe, that Vince and Kevin and all you guys prepared me to carry my own show. And as much as I love doing SportsCenter, and I do, I feel I'm most strong when I'm underneath my own brand, doing my own thing. And that's what we're trying to do. And I think everybody, when they get to a certain point in their career and they feel confident enough that they want to do their own thing, whether it's being a main eventer on pay-per-view and WrestleManias, or being a main eventer at ESPN. And I feel like I'm prepared for that. We're ready for that. And hopefully that's the next step.
Well, certainly, I hope you realize you are a main eventer at ESPN. And you were right in saying, I watch more SportsCenter than anybody alive.
Yes.
Probably more than Conrad. and when I'm out of the country, I can't stand it when I can't get ESPN. So, but
you know what's funny, Rick?
Go ahead.
People, you need to know that at ESPN, you're one of the absolute favorite people, because so many people know how close you and I are and the other guys. But when it comes to being a sports fan, they always bring up, we need to bring Rick here. We can't bring him here every month. We can't, you know. And because they understand and they see your speeches and they see when you go talk to the football teams and you're hanging out with Tom Brady in Michigan and all these things, how cool it is for the players and the kids to be around you. But I think even more impressive is how much you still love being at those events. There's nothing like a live event, whether it's a football, basketball, wrestling show. There's nothing like it. And people see how much you love it. And I think it's awesome. And I feel bad.
Well, I do too.
Don't understand how cool it is. Yeah. You can see it.
I mean,
you can see it.
Well, for me, I'm lucky that my brand is, has a cross demographic appeal. I mean, I hadn't seen Kirk Herbstreit in like 5 or 6 years. I'd never met Reese Davis. I knew Desmond Howard and I knew Corso, but I hadn't seen him in years, right? Maybe like 5 years. But when I walked on the set, it was like I hadn't missed a beat. You know what I mean? And they were so nice and so respectful. And then they played all my stuff from the 80s, which is somehow is bigger now than it was then. So it was fun. And they played where I cracked on Ohio State and all that. But it was a great experience. And I like to say I'm lucky, because the Falcons reached out to me. The Panthers have lost me forever after ditching me after the 49er game. That was the Panthers.
Yeah.
I like Cam Newton and Keekly and that, but man, that was a bad deal. Vincent is now the 49ers, and the Panthers want to burn me in effigy. Jesus Christ. So, now everything's great. I'm having a great time. My life couldn't be better. I'm living with Wendy now, and I needed that stability, something I never had. So, I'm in a great place, and once again, so glad. The irony of this is me calling you last night to do the show is you're having tonight at 9 o'clock Ashley will be on SportsCenter with you. So my daughter, Ashley Sharp.
It's really cool, man. And she's – I was telling somebody last night, because we got a chance to do the piece last night because of the World Series and the schedule and everything. And we've had her on back in January. Then we were with you and her at WrestleMania. And then here, so throughout the year. And I told her that I was so proud of how far she's come, because in this business, people don't understand. You don't just create this persona, or you don't just create and learn how to talk, or you don't just become poised to sit there and describe the business and so eloquently, and to talk about being your daughter and then getting out from underneath your shadow, which is an enormous shadow. But then also you've got to step into the ring and perform at an extremely high level when you get to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, and to do that 4 days a week, but then also to have the passion for it and to speak that way. And the young woman that I saw last night, that people are going to see tonight on SportsCenter at 9 o'clock Eastern, is such a poised, beautiful woman that I've known for such a long time, from a child into a woman, that I was bursting for pride. So I can only imagine what you're like when you watch her perform now. And she told me, she's like, I call home all the time and say, Dad, I'm going to be in segment 6 or segment 7 or whatever. And I told her, I said, I don't think you have to call your dad to tell him to watch you on Raw or SmackDown. I think he probably watches every time. Right.
If I don't hear back from her, I text Michael Hayes. She can't get away from me.
It's so cool because I run into it at ESPN, and when you're so good at something, and Rick, you were at a main event level for 20, 30, 40 years, and when you're doing that day in and day out, you forget how good you are because so many tens of thousands, hundreds, millions of people try to get to our level. And I try to remember at the level that I'm at, the level that Ashley is at, is the absolute highest level. And how do you stay there? How do you get better? And the person that I spoke to that's going to be on SportsCenter, that's going to be in the triple main event this Sunday at Hell in a Cell, is an incredibly accomplished young woman. And I could not be more proud of where she's at. And so I commend you for the guidance you've given her. But I know you're proud of her because she is busted out of her shell, and she's an incredible performer in the ring.
Yeah, well, thank you. I how proud of her. I mean, it's incredible to see her out there, and she found her niche. And you know, it takes everybody a while to find their niche. You know what I mean? It even took me a couple of years. Actually, I didn't really find it until after the airplane crash. So, but once you find it, and then you start believing. It's so much easier to do what you're doing for a living when you believe in yourself and you're totally comfortable with what you're doing. I mean, and man, she's right there. And the athletic,
she's right there.
And you've known her since 2003. Do you realize that?
I can't believe we were talking last night. How long had I known her with my guys at ESPN? And I said, well, I know she was in high school, I don't know how much earlier than that, but I know it was over 10 years, almost 15 years. And I think to your point, the people that listen to this, and I love podcasts because I always try to learn something, and I think people listen to you to learn something and also be entertained, is what you just said, is that Ashley never wanted to get into the business. She wanted to play volleyball. No. She wanted to play sports and all that. And when she realized that, and I believe this, that there is a passing down of talents from a father to a son or daughter or vice versa, a mother as well, that once you figure out who you are, that's when you can become great at it. Because if you don't truly want to do it, you don't truly believe that this is what you should be doing, then you're never going to get to the level that you belong at. And I think to your point, finally realized this is what I was meant to do. And this is what I'm supposed to do. And I think that's a really cool thing.
I watch you now as opposed to 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And you've got not only like I would call like trademark mannerisms, but you've got little sayings going now. You know what I mean? You remind me of almost like of Stuart Scott. I mean, it's that good. I mean, and at your age, you can imagine the following you have across the country. It's got to be huge. I mean, when I told Connor last night that I called you to do the show, he texted me back, capital letters, huge.
Thank you. And we do that on purpose because for the first 5 or 6 years I was at ESPN, I was trying to fit in, and I was trying to be something that I'm not. And what I'm not is a traditional SportsCenter anchor. I didn't come up through the system, so to speak. We know that. And I think sometimes when you're in the mix, you forget. And I've been doing a lot more traveling lately, and I'm realizing how many people not only watch me and knew me from wrestling, but also now that I've been at ESPN for so long. And it's gratifying, but it's also gratifying to know that what you're doing and the style that you have is catching on with people. And the sayings and the mannerisms, those are all on purpose because I learned from the very best on how to brand. And I call it the brand within the brand. What's the coach brand within ESPN and SportsCenter? And once I started doing that about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I said, you know what? This worked at WWE. There's a reason that I was able to be successful starting as an announcer and then morphing into a character. So why can't that work here? And guess what? I realized that if I'm not the best performer, I've got to be right there. I may not be the best anchor, but you're not going to have a more entertaining show than what me and Max do on a nightly basis. And for that,
and
I'm proud of
that. I totally concur.
Well,
I mean,
well,
you guys
you.
Are really good together.
So we like to have a good time, man.
Well, you guys, you can see it all over your face. The show is great. It's refreshing. And like I said, you've got some trademark niches going on now that are really cool. What? Conrad, we're not trying to leave you out of this, Conrad.
Listen, I'm enjoying
it. I'm sure you got a thousand questions. No, go ahead.
I like being a fly on the wall with you guys. And I guess one of the things I want to talk about is somebody who's in the news on ESPN pretty regularly this past year, Brock Lesnar, and what you expect to see with his situation with the failed drug test and now testing the supplements and that continuation. What do you expect to kind of be the end game there? Do you think he's done in the UFC? Any sort of conversation about that?
Well, I think he is done in the UFC simply because anybody's been around Brock, and I was with Paul Heyman last week. He was our guest on Off the Top Rope on SportsCenter. Is Brock is a different kind of cat. Brock is not a normal human being. He is made differently than the rest of us. And the stuff he took in UFC, at least reportedly, is the same type of stuff that Jon Jones got popped for. But now they're realizing that that was tainted a little bit.
Right.
So I think we may see some things come out. I don't know. Regardless, he went back and he was successful. And he was able to get a win. And he looked better.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's it. And who gives a shit what he was on?
He won an
NCAA championship clean. Give me a break.
He's been a beast forever. And if people really look at that, all they see, and this is what drives me crazy, is they go, oh, he just had a positive test. There's a lot of things that don't help your performance at all.
Right.
You know, and so for Brock, if you go back to his college days and all of that, he's always been just a different kind of dude. Now, are there people that are jealous of him because he doesn't have to work that much and gets paid a lot of money? Well, guess what? When you're different and you're a star and you're a reason that people buy tickets to see you perform and somebody's willing to pay you X and all you got to do is Y, then who's going to say, no, please let me work more. Let me try. You know, you get to a point when you're in your mid-30s or late-30s, that's still young, but a lot of us have been traveling around the world for 10 or more years. It gets tiring. And I appreciate and applaud, and I've gotten to see Brock at least once or twice a year for the last 5 years. He'll come to ESPN. And I think people just need to respect the athlete that he is, the character that he's created, and give Paul Heyman a lot of credit. And it doesn't matter if you like Paul or you don't like Paul. He's about as good a talker as there is. He can sell Brock better than anybody else. But that's a long-winded answer for no. I don't think we'll ever see Brock in the UFC again, at least not as the rules are right now. Plus, with the new owners, I don't know how much you guys follow it, but I feel like they're alienating their fighters because they don't pay a lot of guys very much money. And you're out there busting your tail for the company that's making all the money. And I think you're going to see less and less guys go that route unless they start paying them fair market value. Because imagine if that happened in the WWE or other places. That's the kind of issues that has been dealing with the business for years and years. Because the promoters always say, well, where else are you going to go?
Right.
Where are you going to go? And when that's the case, unless you're a Brock or a Conor McGregor, they can say, we can live without you. I hate that. Because at ESPN sometimes there can be that mentality of, hey, we can live without you. I'm saying, wait a second. We're here making your product better. Just show us some love. It doesn't always have to be in money, but it can be in just we're happy you're here, you're valued. And I think that's an important aspect of life no matter who you're working for. I really, really do.
Yeah, well, I think Brock, he was, literally a couple of weeks away from playing in the NFL and hadn't played football since high school. I mean, it's ridiculous. he's that good athlete. So my hat's off to him too. And you know, he's entitled to it. Right? You know, good for him. And I mean, here's the deal: if they're going to wait till the last minute, and he's on ESPN with you, and the match is on Sunday for SummerSlam, or he's going back to UFC, you know, what are they going to do?
People don't care. Fans don't care. Fans don't care. You know, I'm saying? Fans want to see their favorite guy perform.
Right.
Period. End of story. If they buy a ticket, you think they want to see John Jones not fight a UFC 200 instead of all the stuff that I did 46 segments, 46 guys in 4 days because John Jones got taken off that card in July. You think I wanted to see 46? Hell no. I wanted to see John Jones fight. And that's what fans want. And whether it's wrestling or whether it's UFC, they want to see their stars perform. Imagine what – I'm sure there was a few nights, Rick, when you were main eventing that for one reason or another, whether it was travel, weather, that you weren't able to make it. And how did those fans react? They probably went crazy because they've been looking forward to seeing Ric Flair for however long they had their ticket. Those things don't change in 2016. You buy a ticket, you want to see the guys that you want to see, the heroes, the superstars, the superheroes. And these kinds of things take away from that, and that's the part I don't like.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with you more. No, when I actually, from when I first started, right to the end, I mean, if your name's on the marquee, I actually only missed 4 matches my entire career. So, yeah, which is a lot. Yeah, once I stayed home, I can remember.
You used to do two towns a day on weekends, right?
Yeah, twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday. But
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
For 73 years, too. Flight. I mean, to do 2 shots every weekend for 73 years, I mean, that's a lot of matches.
Yeah.
That's a lot of matches.
I didn't win a lot of them, but
16.
No, but I think, I mean, you know, we're here again, SportsCenter, right? You're talking about money for Brock, right? Now, because Kershaw loses game 6, right? They want to take his $30 million away. Really? The best pitcher alive, right? Give me a break. Mm-hmm. It's a minute. You're only what kills me, and I mean, it's not. It's the talk shows that you're not on, where the people say things, and I'm not going to mention their names, that are absurd. Okay, I mean, it's like, hey, should we ditch today? I'm watching the show. I won't mention the show. That's crazy. So is LeBron a Yankee fan jumping on the bandwagon with Cleveland? I mean, what a stupid thing to say. Right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. They come
Rick,
up with the worst crap of the world. Is LeBron jumping on the bandwagon? I don't know.
Come on. He's been – anybody that follows it, and I'm sure you're talking about Skip Bayless because he's the only one that talks about LeBron like that.
I was talking about Jamel Hill.
Okay. Jamel Hill. This is you just made the reason why I want to get my own debate show, opinion-based show, because I feel like I'm the most normal, straight-headed, straight-minded talking head, I guess, out there, because that's crazy. We all know he's a Yankees fan because of different reasons. Right, but, he's from Cleveland. He's putting businesses back into the city.
Yeah.
So
the community,
if they're
ever
gonna say, it's ridiculous. And we have a lot of people like that. And trust me, it goes back to what I told you. The last 3 years, I'm a man on my own island, and I'm not trying to be a team player anymore. And because when you're a team player, it doesn't always help the team. It can be reversed.
Well,
I'm trying to be my own guy because that can help ESPN because that drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, here's Jamil. If she's not listening, last night on national TV, he grabs a microphone. He says, "If you're not loving Cleveland, you ain't living." What the hell? He's jumping on a bandwagon, right? I mean, oh my God. I mean,
I know.
Some of those comments drive me crazy. So
I know.
No offense, Jamil.
Hey, no, believe me, her, she's living well. She's living well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. God. How's my girlfriend, Terry Champion, doing?
Oh my gosh, she still has that wonderful video that you sent her on her phone, and she brings it up all the time. So she's doing great. I'm telling you, when you come around, hopefully soon, hopefully you can get on her show because she'd love to have you. She would love to have
you. Well, I'd love to be there. Yeah, she is absolutely gorgeous. And I tell you, she's become really good at what she does. She's doing a lot more of the morning stuff and the sit-down stuff,
yeah,
you know, like Linda Cohen and that. And she's doing great,
she's got her own
think.
Show. Yeah. She got her own show at 11 a.m. And it's like anything. It just takes time to, as we talked about, find your voice and find how you're going to be good. And when you do that, it's amazing the things you can start to do. And
yeah,
and I don't believe that great broadcasters were just born to be great broadcasters. I think there's some that are naturals. I would not consider myself a natural or, you know, Kerry Champion a natural. But what you do is I would rather compare myself to somebody like a Chris Berman. Chris Berman is on the, you know, he's one of the great names of all time. He's not a great broadcaster, but he's a great personality. And that's what I am. And I think that's what you have to embrace, because I'm not Jim Nance. I'm not going to wax poetically like he does. But I think if you're memorable, that's why people will come back and watch you now, because it's different than it was 20 or 30 years ago, Rick. TV is people want to watch. They want to watch you.
You're building a brand. You're building a brand, my friend. And
every
and you're
day,
right. I mean,
little
Jim Nance is a great call, play-by-play guy, but he doesn't have a lot of personality. So,
yeah,
I mean, he's not allowed to express it in what he does. That's it.
He's not allowed to. But it's, to me, the little things matter. And for anybody who's listening that's young and coming up in the business, you got to understand little things turn into big things. I'm very, very detail oriented now, and I never used to be, but I am now, because those little things that you change and you pay attention to, then all of a sudden they build into big things that can really help the brand long term.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, all right, sir, can you help? Go ahead, man. Please,
well, listen,
jump in here.
Half of our show,
first of all,
Coach,
we got to clarify something. And that, Coach, I need your opinion, okay?
Okay.
Well, you know who my college team is, right?
Oh, who can
your
keep
college
up,
team
Rick?
Is yeah. Florida.
Yeah.
Michigan.
That's what I'm talking about.
Michigan.
Oh, gosh. Who can keep
Florida.
Up?
Florida.
Well, you were buddies with you were. I know you went to, I know you went to Michigan. I always thought you loved Florida, too.
No, kid, I loved Florida when Steve was there. You kidding? My ex-wife went to school there. Okay, I love Florida.
Should I say
where's
which one?
Where's
I mean,
that or in law? Which one? Oh, that's funny. That's an old joke, by the way. Which one? Oh, God. No, I followed Spurrier around, and ironically, Spurrier retired last year at the same time Jim, who I've known since 1989. Jim went to the to Michigan, and he called me, and I actually said something that I was sitting with Conrad in Dallas, and I tweeted back something. The next thing I know, I was on a plane, and here's Wendy and I walking in there with all these guys. I mean, it was amazing. And I hear, you know, of course, Wendy's saying to me, "What do you think we'll get to meet Tom Brady?" I said, "I mean, I haven't ever met him. I mean, I don't know what's going to say." And ultimately, I see him again. We shake hands. And he says to me, "Can I get a picture with you?" He asked me.
You're kidding.
Are you kidding me?
He asked you?
I swear to God, he asked me for a picture.
We all saw the picture.
Like, oh, thank God. Yeah, it was tremendous. And he said, "I've been a big fan of yours my whole life." I mean, I thought,
wow.
If anybody, you have to admit this, guys, if anybody in the world could be a prick, it would be him.
It'd be him.
Handsome.
He's the only one that he's allowed to.
Four triple ring, married to a supermodel, right? He was so nice. It was unreal.
Was he really?
Yeah, anyway, let's get back to what I was saying. Conrad's an Alabama guy. Will you explain to him that ain't going to happen this year?
Oh, gosh. Come on, Rick. You know better.
Wow. Rick.
He's with me.
I don't even know how to break this to you. when a team is favored by 19 points over the number 6 team in the country, and they cover, rather easily playing sloppy football, there is no shot, no shot of any team in college football beating Alabama this year.
There it is.
No shot.
Oh, there it is.
I'm going to hold you to that. And I want to
they will win.
I'm getting something with you. When
you got it right here. I talked about on my radio show last week. Every game will be at least a double-digit game. Not the spread. I don't know what if they'll cover the spread, but what I'm saying is they'll win at least every game by 10 points or more for the rest of the way. For the rest of the way.
With Fournette back, LSU is going to beat them.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, Rick. they can't throw.
Because you're a paid professional broadcaster. I mean, I have to listen
it's
to
what
this
I
propaganda.
Do, Rick. And I'm not wrong very often. I'm telling you. I used to be the guy back when
not.
I used to gamble all the time. You know, I used to gamble if the sun was come up. And that's another thing that I haven't done that in years. Life is so much better when you're not meeting with the unsavory of the world every Tuesday, you know. And so you get to be a lot clearer, too. And I realized that I used to bet with my heart. I used to say, well, A&M, they'll stay within 10 points. Now I realize it's okay to admit when a team is great. It's okay to admit when a team is absolutely head and shoulders above, even if I don't like them. And I've got to be around Nick Saban twice this year when I was hosting First Take and then on SportsCenter. And we got to have real conversations. And I realized a lot of what he does is an act, just like Bill Belichick's is an act. They love the persona of the old crotchety, unhappy guy.
Yep.
He's really a cool guy that goes to rock and roll shows. He says him and Bill Belichick, cool story, will go to like Bon Jovi or the Rolling Stones or whoever, and they'll hide backstage. And when the lights go down, then they'll get walked out to their seats because they don't like to sit in a skybox. They want to sit in the seats, right? Which I thought, wow, they saved it and Bill Belichick at Kiss concert, but they love it. And they also love to mess with the media and let people think that that's really, truly who they are. And it's just not. It's just not.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a pretty cool thing to learn specifically about Nick Saban.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I'm let's move on here. Okay?
For the record, man, last year Fournette got 31 yards on 19 carries. So I'm not sold on him running wild on the Crimson Tide this season.
Okay, let's switch subject here. Is LeBron James not the greatest basketball player there ever was?
Well,
19-11-14 last night. Are you kidding me?
Very in a very easy 19-11-14, I might add.
Yeah, you watch
he has, I was on SportsCenter live during the game and after the game. I did all the post game.
Oh, that's right. So, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So I do. That's okay. So what he has done, he'll never in my mind, because Jordan is my favorite, so many great Sundays. But where LeBron has transcended Jordan for me is that he's way more involved in life as a player than Jordan was. Now it's a different time too, but LeBron is invested in his community. He's very much more a team player than Jordan ever was. And I think he has done the unthinkable, and that is bring two franchises to the pinnacle. And last year's finals was as exciting a stretch of games that you'll ever see. And he lifted Kyrie Irving to a point that I don't think Kyrie Irving thought he could ever get to. And for those reasons, I think he can be considered right there. But as far as just sheer talent and what was able to be done on the court, I think Jordan is ultimately always going to stay at number one.
I got to argue that point with you. 6'6", 215, 6'8", 265, can jump higher, can run faster. You know, I mean,
that he can do.
You never saw Jordan getting 14 assists. Let me give me a break.
That's true. Well, that's what I'm saying.
And how many points would he average if he didn't pass the ball all night long?
Well, see, that's the point. That's the one knock, Rick. That's the one knock that I've always had on LeBron. And I feel like he should have 5 or 6 rings at this point because of that reason. He doesn't have the step on your throat, take over a game all the time. He's done it a few times, but Jordan did it every single night. And that's what we wanted from LeBron on the night that you got to have 45 to win the game.
Yeah.
He didn't always do that. And that frustrated a lot of us, especially like against Dallas in the finals where the ball was like a hot potato. Remember?
Listen. We didn't have you come on the show to bring up all the bad things, okay? We have to get some points over here. I don't want to hear about the finals with Dallas or the finals with the Spurs, okay? Jesus Christ. Coach, give me some help here, man. What the hell? And also, I don't remind
you should have given me a...
At the age of 31, he's ahead of Jordan in every category.
Well, you also... That, I don't want to... Well, I think that he started 3 years ahead of Jordan too. Remember, he didn't go to college. Jordan
I
went,
know
Jordan
that.
Went to college 3 years. I feel like I'm on the other side of the fence on everything. Conrad, I feel like
now, I'm that. Well, I love Michael Jordan. I know him real well. I just think this kid is something else. He doesn't get hurt. He plays. I mean, just see what he can do. That play, talk about a defining moment. That play when he ran down Iguodala last year, blocked the ball off the backboard and flew back to Kyrie. Boom, the game.
I mean, we talked about it last night.
Yeah,
we talked about it last night. That was the play. Yeah, that was the play of the finals, not the shot. And that's the play that kind of gets overlooked a little bit, a lot actually, is people talk about Kyrie's shot, and although it was big. They would have had Golden State would have had the lead if he would have made that layup. You're 100% right, and I think that you hit nail on the head. Something that I think about all the time, and I always there were certain guys in wrestling that I appreciated for this too. Is LeBron never ever ever gets hurt, and the only time that he doesn't play is if they decide to rest him.
Knock on wood.
There were some guys in wrestling that would show up for every show, give you a 5-star match, and never complain. And I was like, man, this is amazing that they're doing this every week, 50 weeks a year. And LeBron does that for now 13 seasons. Every night he shows up. And I believe the hardest thing to do in sports is to show up every single night. I really do.
I really agree. But it's so important. And I'll tell you what,
it
because
is.
Nowadays, what was always, even when I was younger, if you had a bad match, boy, that sucks. Does that make sense? I mean, I used to say to everybody, especially if you're working for Vince, you're only as good as Vince McMahon's your last quarter hour.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, how many times did you go out? And this is how I think about when I do SportsCenter, and it's not lost on me that I'm doing the preeminent brand in sports as far as shows are concerned. And there are nights where there's nothing going on. I'm like, man, I just want to get this over with. But I think to myself, there could be one new person, just one. And to me, their life is important to me. And the fact that I want them to enjoy themselves when they're watching. So that's why every single night I will stop before I go through as if I'm in gorilla position. And I'll kind of tell myself, give it everything you have for the next 2 hours because there could be 1, 2, 5, 10 new people that could come back tomorrow. And I know that had to be because I know when I had my few matches that I would stand there and say, there could be one person new watching tonight and let's keep them.
Yep.
And you were a main eventer for so long. You had to tell yourself that on so many nights. Am I right?
Oh, exactly. And the other thing, too, that of the last guy out, the last match out, is that especially in my generation, like in the 80s, there were so many really good workers in the business, especially in the NWA WCW thing. I mean, if you look at our cards, I would be wrestling Sting, Steamboat, Luger, someone of that nature, right? I mean, there's 1,000 other guys, but there'd be Tully and Arn against Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, Rock and Roll Express.
It would be Magnum. It'd be Dusty Rhodes. I mean, we were so deep in talent. When you're on last, I mean, that's competition. I could run around the house, you know what I mean? I never lost any sleep. I never went to bed or anything. But I did, well, I was conscious when I was at the arena that I had to go out and watch some of the matches just so I knew where I was going to be at. Does that make sense?
Wow. Yeah, so, it, I mean, it does.
Today, when they're talking about putting a Sasha and Charlotte on last. I mean,
yeah.
If they do that, it'll be unprecedented. But that's the rumor. I don't know whether it'll happen or not. But she's not, you know, she's looking for that challenge. She loves that. And that's something that she's always been like that ever since she started playing sports. But the other side of that is she doesn't like losing. I don't mean in our business now, but
right.
She can't take losing. She's really competitive.
Right. That's it. You know, I've thought about that. And we talked about that in the interview tonight on SportsCenter. If that happens, you know, how are you going to address it? Because there's, as you know, Rick, there's a different approach to being that last main event match.
Oh, I know.
Being any of the other matches on before. And nowadays, as you know, when I got there in 99, until they started putting the shows together as if it was a TV show, like storyline driven.
Yep.
But back
when,
you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was the guys that would pull the curtain, and then you work your way up, and the farther you go, the bigger the star. And so they don't always put it together like that now as far as the house shows are concerned, because they want it to flow. But I still think there is a cachet to being on late in the show. There is.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be really cool if they can do that. And it's about time that they tried it. You don't know until you try it if it can work. If you have the right people. So I think that's really cool.
No, I do too. And I mean, I'm going back to WrestleMania. I don't think anybody thought that was going to be what it was. And I think, I mean, I know I'm a little prejudiced, but I feel like the girls' match at WrestleMania was every bit as good as any match on that card. I mean, I thought
incredible.
The girls tore down that three-way match. Would you agree, Conrad?
Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal. And I'm looking forward to Hell in a Cell this weekend.
Yeah, me too. So, of all the guys right now, Coach, who do you like the best in the ring?
Probably for a couple of different reasons, because I always factor in promos and all those sorts of things. Right now, I'm a really big fan of Kevin Owens. I really am. And I think that's the reason they put the strap on him is that he looks like an everyman. He's not shredded. He's not a bodybuilder type. He can talk. He looks like somebody that's just going to get in a scrap. And to me, those are the characters that I love. Those are the characters that I can believe in. And so he's probably my favorite right now of everybody. You know?
Yeah, well, he's doing a great job, man. When I first saw him at NXT, I said, no way. I just didn't think he had the look, you know what I mean? That the company has always loved. I mean, you think about it, there have been some drastic changes in ways that they look at people now and look at talent as opposed to how they did 10 years ago. And when I first saw him there, I said, God, the guy can work, but, you know, he'll never go anywhere. Now he's the world champion. So, and he
Isn't
can
that
work.
Crazy?
I mean, no doubt about it. Yeah.
He can work
up the guy 180 pounds. Yeah, big time. What are your thoughts on that, Conrad?
No, I don't know how, you know, you can even just pick just one guy right now. It seems like there's so many at the top, you know, they deliver every time, whether it's AJ Styles or Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar. I don't think there's a bad, I think this is probably, and I know a lot of people disagree with this, I think this is the most talented in-ring group of wrestlers in the history of the WWE.
Yeah, they've got
that one time. Wow.
Both brands who, I tell you this, but it didn't hurt. It hurt last night and I felt bad for them. SmackDown going up against Cleveland and then the first game of the World Series. So, well, let's touch on one more professional sport. Who do you like in the Cubs and Cleveland, Coach?
Well, I tend to be against the norm, and I like the Indians because they're a grinding team and they win games like they did last night. And I also said this because I was on the air when the Cubs won the NLCS, and I said, you cannot celebrate like you've won the World Series this much. And I understand, but it was almost as if the players were doing it. Everybody was like, man, if you just came from Mars and watched that celebration, you would have said they just won the World Series.
Right.
And it takes a long time mentally and emotionally to get back. Last night, they had no emotion. Zero. Now, they faced the pitcher. But I think they're going to be behind after tonight, 2-0. And I think it's going to be too much to ask them to come back. And I think Terry Francona is a Hall of Fame manager. He's picking all the right guys. And they've got, you know, Andrew Miller is a name that sports fans, he's going to be a Hall of Fame middle reliever and eventually a closer. He's so great. Yeah. So I'm picking the Indians.
Yeah. I really don't. I'm not even that big a baseball guy. I like Joe Madden real well. And I met him in Tampa. And then when Ashley threw out the opening pitch, I got to spend time.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a guy. I mean, he's just such a respectful, nice guy. Easy going. But I also met Francona when I was with Boston. And act equally as nice a guy. So I'm happy for either one.
They're both great, and we've got to know both of them very well. Terry worked with us for a full season after he left Boston. And I just like people. I'm at a point in my career, Rick, that I don't have any BS around me. I don't have any stupid stuff around me. And I just want to be around good people, work with good people, work with smart people, and be the best that I can be and work with the absolute best. And that's my entire focus every single day when I get out of bed. And those two guys fall into that category. But that's all I'm going to do for the next 30 years of my career. And I'm just grateful that I've gotten through the WWE years the way that I did. And I've gotten to this point. And I want to be a leader. I want to be somebody in this country that people can look at and say, there's a guy that's great at what he does, but also brings people along with him to bring the best out of them. And I think that's what those two guys do as the managers of their particular ball clubs.
Well, I can't thank you enough, man. You've been very informative. Not sure like everything that you've said about my football team and who's going to win what. I got to throw one more thing at you about sports because we haven't had a sports guy in. So Max Kellerman, right, the rocket scientist, right?
Yeah,
he says to Stephen A. yesterday that Belichick would take this would kill me by his words would take Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady any day of the week.
Well, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
I didn't,
and I'm glad I didn't. I'm at the gym at that time, usually watching those guys, but. There's no head coach in the history of the NFL that would take Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is
the elite of the elite.
I do too, but look at him right now. He has off year. Tom Brady does not have off year.
Yeah. Right.
He just doesn't.
No, I know.
And that's what makes him so great.
We need here in Atlanta, we need Aaron to have a rough day Sunday. they lost a close one last week, but they've got a good team this year.
They got a really good team. They're still in first place at 4-3. I think they'll make it to the playoffs just because I think they're good, but I think the rest of the division is bad. And I love the NFL and I love every Sunday. And it's thrilling because I get to do an NFL radio show on Sundays as well. So,
that's great.
I work 6 days a week, 1 to 4, we do all the early games. It's kind of like the Red Zone channel on radio, and it's just awesome to do.
You got to be making Conrad money.
Oh my gosh, Coach! Before we let you go,
maybe after next year we'll see. But a lot of fun things going on, man. And I tell you what, I cannot believe that an hour has gone by because this is what you and I have always been. Whether it's dinner or having drinks,
I know,
man. Yeah. We could tell stories for hours, man. We really could.
Okay. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough. I'll let Conrad thank you as well. But for taking the time when it's your day off, and it's asking a lot of you to give up some time on your day off. But it was really informative. Always nice catching up. Thank you so much for all the respect. I'm very, very excited about the 9 o'clock segment with you and Ashley. So thank you so much, Coach.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, when you call me, I'm going to do whatever you need me to do. I respect you as much as anybody. I love you. as much as anybody. And so you never, ever have to thank me, because I'll always be here for anything that you need. Conrad, you too. This is obviously great to catch up with you guys. And hopefully you enjoy the interview tonight. And you know, whenever we're around, we want to have the Nature Boy on ESPN. And I wish you the best moving forward with things that are coming up. I can't wait to see how everything turns out. So I love you, and I'll
thank
talk to you guys really soon.
Love you
soon,
too, man.
Thanks so much for your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.